The 2015-16 season at the Ensemble Theater of Cincinnati is shaping up to be quite the season. There's comedy, there's drama, there's pathos. And joining me to talk about all of this, including a new announcement of an addition to the season, is the producing artistic director, D'Lynn Myers. Thank you for coming, Lynn.
Hi, Jim. Hi, everybody. Happy to be here. Very happy to be here.
This is a fantastic season.
We're excited. We're very excited. A season, a long time in the making.
So let's go ahead and start at the beginning.
In looking at the 30th anniversary season, one thing that we wanted to be sure we were doing was celebrating the mission of the theater. And the mission of the theater is works which are new to the region or brand new works which have a social conscience. So I could think of no better way to start than with Luna Gale by Rebecca Gilman. It is a powerful show. It is an unusual story, and I love that. I love stories that look at different portions of our society that may be not represented as much in the arts. And this is a look at basically the foster care social system through what happens to one little girl, little baby girl named Luna Gale. It's about the grandmother, the teenage parents, the social worker assigned to the case, her boss, a minister that gets involved. It's about all of the people that come around in the beginnings of anyone's life, and this life in particular, where people cared very deeply and desperately about what happens to her. And you really can't sit there and take sides. So that's what's wonderful is that it's, I hope it opens a great conversation in the car ride on the way home. Rebecca Gilman is one of my favorite playwrights. Spinning into Butter is a terrific show she wrote some years ago. And I think she really does understand the heartbeat of what's happening in our country. And certainly the foster care system and adoption and teen addiction and all of that is very much in the news. So at ETC, I do watch the news so that I know what my community cares about. And I think this show will be a beautiful way to start. Annie Fitzpatrick will be featured in it, is the role of Caroline, a veteran social worker. And in the way that I felt like Good People was an extraordinary role for Annie and Rabbit Hole, I think this is another extraordinary way for us to see a terrific actress who happens to make Cincinnati home.
Now, after this very socially aware play, the next is a little bit of a social fantasy.
Yes.
And that is Buyer and Seller.
Buyer and Seller is just funny. And it's okay. I've made myself believe that it's okay for us to just do a funny show. It's a funny show with a great big heart and a terrific actor starring in it. Nick Searley, audiences may remember because he was in Next to Normal. He played the boyfriend in Next to Normal. He also was in 25, the musical, which was our 25th anniversary musical celebration, and Trailer Park. So this is a guy that you've mostly seen singing and dancing, but in this show, he will be acting and he will be playing many, many, many roles. He will play an actor who gets hired to manage Barbara Streisand's basement. And in Barbara Streisand's basement is a mall of sorts, a props mall from things that she's done, costume mall from shows she's been in, frozen yogurt maker. It's a very wonderful fantasy based on the fact that Barbara Streisand takes great pride in her beautiful design capabilities and wrote a marvelous book about designing her home. So here we hire a young actor to find not only his way around the Streisand empire, but also find himself in the meantime. So he'll play a variety of roles. If you liked Mrs. Manerly, if you like those kind of shows where an actor embodies a lot of different people, and well, you will like Nick Searley in Buyer and Seller. It's a lot of fun, and that'll be happening, as you said, in October.
That brings us to the November-December time slot, which everyone knows at ETC is family time. It's time for the holiday musical, and we're very excited about this one.
Well, and it's, you know, I say this in the curtain speeches, and I mean it. It is a multi-generational, non-denominational musical. So it doesn't matter what holiday you do or don't celebrate. From December 3rd to January 3rd, Cinderella will be on our stage. And it was a very deliberate desire to do Cinderella since there are all these other Cinderellas out there. There's that fabulous show that toured through here, the Rodgers and Hammerstein show. There's the movie that was just out. The ballet is doing Cinderella. But our Cinderella is, as always at ETC, extremely unique. She loses a sneaker, not a glass slipper. The prince and Cinderella are bookworms. They believe in philosophy and the studying of the art of the mind, and they exchange glasses. So the glass that gets exchanged are kind of eyeglasses as opposed to glass slippers. It is truly family-friendly, but it is not a children's show. And I think there's a big distinction in that we want to appeal so that parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, teenagers who maybe saw the shows when they were little kids could come back. It's written with a little bit more of a of a reaching across the aisle feel than let's just do something for the kids. Now, if the 1,200 kids that see the show for free as part of our Fairy Godmother program like it, I know we're in good shape. But I also think that audiences will really enjoy it. And the music is just wonderful. It's David Kaiser's score along with Fitzpatton. And Joe McDonough's book is exceedingly clever. And there is a new show, several new shows in the works. But for the anniversary, we thought it would be a lot of fun to do something that's one of our favorites.
Starting the new year in January, February time slot is a show that I heard about and was immediately taken by. It's called Grounded.
Mm-hmm. I love that in the way that it's being described in our brochure is it starts in the first line. They talk about an unexpected pregnancy. I would just say this is an unexpected play. It's about a woman who is in the service. She's a pilot, loves flying, loves her country, loves what she does. And when she turns up pregnant, she decides that that also needs to be part of her life. So she takes a leave, which is all copacetic. Everybody's fine with that. But yet, in the brief time that she's away, what's happened is the job assignments have changed. And this is not unique unto just her situation, but other servicemen and women are finding themselves in a continually dehumanized process. So she goes back to work and she's no longer in the air, but she's flying drones. And she's looking at drones attacking people hundreds of thousands of miles away. She's looking at an unseen, faceless enemy that appears on a television screen. And I find that struggle as our country continues to find ways to support our returning military and current military, I find that struggle is a unique perspective on what's happening to our service people and a story that really should be told. I am thrilled that George Brent actually wrote this about a woman in the service, which I think is a unique look, and also about a woman who becomes a mother who has that other aspect. It's a very human portrayal of a human being in a very inhumane situation. It is not in any way a condemnation of our military or what we're trying to do. It is not. In fact, I think it builds a great deal of respect for our service people. It just shows a different aspect of a struggle that they may be dealing with that we don't hear about daily.
This brings us to the fifth show of the season, which has been sort of a puzzle piece that we've been looking for. And you finally found it. You finally put it into place.
We did. And it was a puzzle piece because there's several shows that were in development, but oh, maybe that's not quite ready. And then I was very taken last year with The Other Place, which Char White wrote. I think Char White is an extraordinary voice in our society. He really does understand people and what makes them tick. And where The Other Place delved into a sort of mystery of what happens and is happening in a very brilliant woman's life with early onset dementia. Annapurna is a mystery too, but it's a little bit of an unraveling of a love story. It's about a couple that were married maybe 20-something years ago, and in the middle of the night, the wife and child disappear, and now, 20 years later, she appears at his trailer door, and the last 20 years unravel in the midst of them dealing with their current feelings and emotions for each other. It is a powerful, very, very funny play in places, but also extremely bittersweet. In that it says to us, how do we really know each other? How do we really know that person we've spent our life with? How do we really come to terms with who we are at the end of the day? So for those who liked The Other Place and liked the unraveling of Juliana's story in there, I think they'll love the way Char White unravels the mystery of this and does it in a very loving, funny, touching way. So I'm thrilled that that's going to be the fifth show in the season. It really does make the whole season complete.
Speaking of completing the season, The final show is going to be Violet, which is a wonderful story of self-discovery.
It is. And it is a show that we did in 99. And it is a show that when we did it in 99, we had no business doing it in 99. We were still in a neighborhood that hadn't even begun to recover. It's a big musical. It is a very important, marvelous play about responsibility, about social acceptance. There's an interracial love story tied into this play. There's a sense of self-discovery with a young woman who believes she can be healed by traveling outside of her home base and across the country. It is one of the favorite things that I have ever seen on our stage. So I wanted one show that would be the throwback for the 30 years. And when I think about the way our mission came to be. And when I think about the support we had for Violet, it is a musical in the vein of Grey Gardens and Next to Normal. It is not your sing-along, you know, let's tap our toes, although there's some great music you're never going to forget from it. But it's indeed a musical with a very strong social conscience and an astonishing story of rediscovery. And I don't think it was an accident when Scott Woolley and I put together 25 the Musical. The last song of that musical, which sort of embodied our 25-year history at that time, was On My Way, which was from Violet. As we put that show together, and Scott had so much input on what great music we've done over the years, there was no question we were going to end the show with that song. I mean, there was just no debate. Everybody in the company's like, it has to be that, it has to be that, it has to be that. So that really was an indicator to me that Violet deserved to be back on our stage.
What a terrific season.
We're very excited. And I think that for a theater dedicated to our community the way we are and placed in the community the way we are, it has been a very colorful 30-year history. And while I wasn't there to see it begin, I am certainly there to see it now. I am certainly happy that we can walk out of our front door and turn left or right and walk across Washington Park and embrace a community that has come back into being what it was many, many years ago when my grandfather worked in Over the Rhine, when my grandparents were born in Over the Rhine. It's a very exciting time to be right in the heart of a city and a community that's reinventing itself and not forgetting about its roots.
I'd like to thank this evening's guest, D'Lynn Myers, and congratulations, Lynn, on the 30th anniversary of ETC.
Thank you. Everybody come down and celebrate with us.
For more information on the 30th anniversary season at Ensemble Theatre Cincinnati, please be sure to visit our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Jim Stump.